once you're free to, you know, be whoever you want to be in the game, it helps you kind of sink into that character.
It's a cool way to be to, yeah, attract those like-minded people.
Something nerdy is going to happen, and we're going to make it cool, I think.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode. I know it's been a little while since I've done one of these, but I, you know, found a story that really grabbed me, and, you know, I had to go with it. But I have Tom and Lindsay here on the show with me who have been contestants on the floor. Tom, as of the, you know, the recording of this, has unfortunately been eliminated, which was a very sad day for me. But Lindsay's still in the game. So I'm excited to talk to both of you, kind of both about just the experience of the show and also about finding love on a game show on TV.
Yeah, well, I guess we can start by just talking about the overall show experience.
Yeah.
So I know that Tom applied because he saw an Instagram or like Facebook ad.
Yeah, and the way that you and I were found, very different.
Yeah, so he had applied to an ad, and then I had a casting director slide into my DMs because I have a fairly like solid Instagram presence. I am a travel and history blogger on Instagram, so I post from the different places that I travel and I write the history of the places. Gonna plug myself. My Instagram is at Linz, LINZOLSON, if anyone is interested. But that's how the two of us got involved with the show. And casting overall probably took, I don't know, like a month for me. What about you, for you, Tom?
They put out a phishing advertisement to see who was interested. So, you know, like I was on Instagram one day and I just saw this ad that said, "You like trivia?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And I click on it, and it's just a filling out a form saying, "You want to be on TV, kid?" And I'm like, "Yeah, man, what can go wrong?" And I filled it out, and later on, I totally forgot about it too. And later on that day, I get contacted by a producer saying, let's do an interview. And I had three interviews. Well, actually only one interview. And then like by the second one or by the third one, they had known that I was going to be on the show. But that was like 3 months before filming. So I'm wondering, Lens, if they started looking for people after that initial ad blast, because they might not have gotten a lot of people. I just thought about that.
I think so, because yeah, I didn't find out about it until like a month before. And I remember like talking to my boss and being like, "Can I take a few weeks off to do this? Like if I'm applying, I don't know if I'm gonna get it." But same like you, Tom, after like a few interviews, it seemed that they really liked me. Like they basically kept telling me that they really liked me. They really liked that they had a young woman who was not going to do a pop culture category. Because they interviewed us about what kind of things were of our interest, and not everybody on the show got a category that was their first choice or exactly what they said. Yeah, Tom did not, but he still got something that they figured he would do well in based on his background. And I'll let you talk about that in a sec. But for me, I've been a presidential enthusiast for the last like 15 plus years. So I've studied the presidents extensively. Tom knows my party trick. You can just like ask me a president and I can just tell you all about that president. I can name them backwards and forwards. And so my interview was very much about presidents. They surprised me by making my category political candidates. That wasn't what I expected. And so it was a little bit harder than if it had been photos of presidents there. It would have been just like the easiest thing in the world for me. I had to study up a little bit more on like people who didn't win, which is not my area of expertise. But yeah, that's kind of how the categories and the interviews worked. And I know that they really liked that I wasn't going to be another woman doing pop culture.
Yeah, I was going to say, Tom, if you want to give your side of that.
During the interview process, they I was also, I really, my big focus is history, U.S. history, especially, or ancient history. And I kept on like kind of, they kept on asking me questions about that. And then like after a few, like another week, they started writing me and were like, do you like anything else? What else do you like? And so I kind of went through my other interests, Dungeons and Dragons, movies, TV shows. And finally, I landed on music. I have a very large vinyl collection. And they went with that. They were just like, all right, bands, it is. And I'm like, that wasn't my first choice, but okay. And I was still comfortable with it, but it wasn't something that I was expecting.
Yeah, and that's really what I was curious about more than anything was like how that process of finding the category went, you know, whether they asked you what are some areas of things that you might like to, you know, have as your specialty, or if they just told you this is what it is. Because obviously they don't have a bunch of people with very similar things, you know, they want to kind of mix it up. So it sounds like they, you know, asked you and then eventually it was decided, okay, this is going to be your area.
What I'm wondering is, did they already have a general knowledge of about like 120 categories? And then based on our answers, try to fit us into those categories. And that's what I'm thinking is happening. And then by the time they got to me, the history categories were already taken up. And they're like, what else do you like? I'm like, movies? I'm like, already taken up. What else? You know, and so when we finally landed on bands, you know, I'm like, oh, all right. That, you know, like, I think that's... because you know, they have a show to make as well. They were probably producing this, and they probably knew the categories a year out before they started casting for it.
And you can see that it's evident in some of the duels. I'd say most of the duels, like, people have generally known a lot of things, but there were a couple in particular where people didn't really know their, you know, own category. I would say Divas this week is one that, like, comes to mind that... My guess is he probably interviewed about pop culture in general or music in general. He is a musician. He's a drummer. He's very good. But they probably, like, we got a list of the categories about 2 weeks before the show without it saying what our category would be. We did know what area our category would be. So, for example, Tom knew he had a music category, but he didn't know which one. I knew I had a history category, but I didn't know which one. So my guess is they put someone like Ross just into music, knowing he's a musician, but Divas wasn't necessarily the best fit for him.
That actually makes a lot more sense after kind of seeing it in action. But now, obviously, you know, you all had the initial categories in the beginning. From there, when it came to like in between, like how long from one show to the next was there like in between the filming? And did you have a chance to like study other categories to be like, okay, these are the people around me, and so I potentially may need to know these things?
Yeah. On average, they filmed 2 episodes a day. The first day, they were working out all the kinks of trying to, you know, get a TV show that nobody had ever done before there underway. So they did only 1 episode. And then the third day, I believe they did 3 episodes, which must have been grueling. I wasn't there. during that first night, after we had all kind of like seen what this show was going to be about, that's when we all started hitting the books and were able to study the way that like the show was set up, because they were very much kind of hush hush about the rules. We didn't know what the rules were going in, but we hadn't really seen gameplay the way that on that level. So, you know, I went back, I started studying up bands and what they looked like and names of bands. And I had no idea it was going to be computer generated images of the bands, but you know, it was all part of the game and the surprise. And I know that a lot of people, like, I started studying the categories around me because I don't know, I had a very strong feeling I was going to get picked that second day. I didn't know it for sure, but I kind of, like, in the back of my head, I'm like, I'm not going to be here.
And I had a feeling I wasn't going to play for a while. Like, I only studied Bugs that first night because I thought the likelihood of me playing was really low. And like, if I did, maybe it would be Bugs, which was the only, like, the one next to me. But like saying, like, you had a feeling you would be on episode 2, and I had a feeling that it was going to be me on the episode I ended up playing, which is episode 6, which is coming up. I don't think it's a big deal to spoil it because this is probably going to run after the episode, but I am in the next episode.
And like also with that randomizer, it was random. We didn't know where it was going to land. So when it landed on me, I've been like, I knew it was. That's actually why if you see me, I'm just like, I knew it. I just felt it in my bones.
And I mean, once you did get picked, was it like one of those gut feelings, like when you went back down to the floor and it's like, okay, people are going to continue trying to challenge me because I have this space. And I mean, it's advantageous for people to do that. You know, you might as well.
Yes. When I went back down to the floor, like when I wanted to go back down in a category that I could defend. But once I took on Greg and then I had the most amount of floor, I wanted to force people to come to my house and challenge me because I knew that there wasn't enough challenges, their duels for the rest of the day for someone to overtake me unless they could beat Jasper at that point. So I was just thinking about that. I knew it was coming back to me. I knew it. Like, there's no way that, like, the probability starts to go up when it, like, that somebody would be adjacent to me. Will kind of worked out the probability. And he told me, like, in like when we were in, like, during a break, he's like, the probability of someone next to you being chosen and then challenging you is, he's like, it's grown exponentially with the more floor space that you've taken. So, like, the fact that I had, like, the first big chunk of floor made me the biggest target. And I just knew it was going to happen again.
Yeah, that's generally the way that it goes. And one more thing I wanted to ask you, Tom, before I kind of dive more into like the interpersonal dynamics between the contestants is, I know like a lot of people have commented on, you know, you kind of repeating things before the challenges and stuff, and which honestly, I understand that because I, you know, when I was in college, I would always have to study like immediately outside of the classroom before the exam just to make sure that everything was fresh in my head. So to me, that makes complete sense as a way to make sure that everything is in your head before going into the challenge.
Yeah. So two things about that. I had crammed, like, you know, you cram that knowledge. So we're not allowed to have our phones on the floor. So I'm just like constantly saying these things in my head, like the bug names, cereal brands, band names, science fiction characters. And when I would go up there, when people were playing, I'm like, there are people who know what the image is and they are saying, and then the word, that the answer. And I'm like, you just lost another second. You lost 2 seconds. This is all about a war of attrition here, about like who can save the most amount of time, who can speak quickly. And so I'm like, if I have that knowledge in my brain already, I can speak faster than the time, the clock is counting. And that's why I was like saying the words in front of me. That being said, I finally achieved a bucket list item that I didn't even know was on the list. I am part of a TV conspiracy. There is an article, I'll send this to you afterwards. There's an article written by some very out there or someone who was bored one day that found a tweet saying, does Tom know the category like answers beforehand? He's saying all the answers. And I'm like, no, I just crammed it and I know what kind of images they show. So I was just repeating those images to myself before the match started. But this person was convinced that I already knew the answers. And I feel accomplished with this. I feel like I've unlocked an achievement that I didn't even know was unlockable.
Yeah.
I want to add to like the effectiveness of that strategy as well, because so much of it is just repeating the name to yourself so that you don't blank out on it when you're playing.
Yep.
When I was doing political candidates, I was studying folks that I thought maybe I wouldn't remember what they looked like. So I was going back and I was studying people from when I was like a little kid or before me. So for example, like I studied Ralph Nader, I studied Ross Perot, I studied people like that. Because again, I knew it wasn't going to be presidents, it was going to be political candidates, which I know pretty well. I do follow politics pretty strongly. So like, I felt good about my category. But it's funny because I knew all these people that I'd studied who were the people I was nervous about. And then one person came up, which I won't say yet because it hasn't aired yet, but one person came up who I know better than any of those people. Like, this person is someone who has run within my lifetime, or at least within my adulthood. And I just can remember his name. I didn't study him. He wasn't fresh in my mind. And so I'm going to be annoyed when I see myself have to pass on that one, because I'm like, oh, I know who that is. Versus one other person that comes up that I straight up did not know what this person looked like. So I'm not mad at myself for missing that person. Like, I didn't know this person. I only knew their name, not their face.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm curious about one thing with the different categories, though. I know, at least for me watching the show and kind of trying to play along with it, anything where you had to fill in words or guess words came much faster to me than like looking at a picture and trying to identify the picture. Did you find that to be the case?
I find that speaks more to the way that your brain works.
Uh-huh. Because I know people who really struggled with those.
I would struggle with that. I know, like with the idioms, I was looking at those and my brain didn't work as fast as with images, just how the brain works.
And I was the opposite. The fill in the blanks were much easier for me.
Yeah. Yeah. With the idioms, it was like, it took me 1 second on every single one of them. So yeah, that is interesting though. I mean, like, you know, depending on how your brain works, you may have more of an advantage or disadvantage with certain types of topics. Yeah, that's really super interesting. Now, getting into, you know, the interpersonal side of things, how much time realistically did you all have to interact when filming wasn't going on? Because it really seemed like a lot of people were very friendly with each other and like had some level of like friendship happening.
I mean, we are like still super close. We're in a chat with probably 70 out of the 81 of us. And this chat is literally like buzzing all day, every day. Like, people are talking in our WhatsApp group. The only people who aren't in it is probably people from the earlier episodes that like just didn't make it onto it and we couldn't track them down. So
Heidi just wrote.
Exactly. Like, our chat is like blowing up right now. So I actually think the cast has gotten way closer since.
Yep.
Like, we are so close. We've even done, like, we did a Universal Studios Orlando trip with like 5 or 6 of us together. We've met up, like, we actually just watched Natalia, who Tom beat in Bugs. She's an MC for like amateur wrestling, and we went to the wrestling live show yesterday and we hung out with her. We've hung out with a bunch of contestants. As far as during the game, or like during filming, there were a couple days before filming where people could kind of hang out and get to know each other. You also talked in between filming, like when you were getting hair and makeup done, during lunch breaks, during dinner breaks, and even on the floor as like they were setting up takes, or like say someone had been randomized, it took a little bit to set up, you know, getting the people to go up and making sure that they were camera ready. So there was just a lot of downtime. There was even like a hype man that would like play music and get everybody dancing. And so we got really close really fast. And I'm sure you've seen that in a lot of the duels where people are like rooting for the person they're playing in, or they're like, you're going to do great. Like, there was a really good camaraderie between everybody. We had a good amount of time. And then at the end of the nights of shooting, we would go back to the hotel bar and all hang out together.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's really awesome. And yeah, for people that, you know, haven't been to like a taping of a TV show, there is like, what you see on TV, there's so much downtime that happens in between from like one thing to the next that you just don't see. So I was curious to, you know, see how much of that there was on that end. Now, as far as the two of you, you know, for those, you know, those that haven't seen your TikTok video, Lindsay may not know the whole story, but I mean, was there a lot of interaction up until the point where you really had like kind of that conversation at the bar, or was it just a lot of like, hey, that person's attractive, you know?
Do you want to start, Tom? Do you want to do this number?
She completely ignored me.
I did not.
She rebuffed my advances. Continuously. No, I'm kidding. When you're on the floor, you're first of all exhausted. You're standing the entire time. You get very minimum amount of breaks. Obviously, love is not on your mind. And I mean, like, clearly there's an attraction here between me and Lindsay. I'm sorry, that's news to you, Lindsay. I'm attracted to you slightly.
Really?
Yes, really. And you know, like, I I immediately was attracted to her. And the hype man that would be in between the takes, he'd come out and we would do, he would do some jokes for the audience to keep them going. And he would do some of his material. And then he would also play music, and we were all dancing at one point. And I wanted to dance with Lindsay. And from what I found out later, Lindsay doesn't really dance.
I'm a terrible dancer.
And so when I tried to go and dance with her, she was like, no. And I'm like, okay, well, that is a clear sign that she's not interested. I'm gonna move away now. I'm gonna go and dance with Kevin. And that's gonna be the rest of my day. And I just didn't really think about it.
And I did not purposely deny his dancing. I think I'm just such a bad dancer. It came off like I didn't want to dance. Because I told him when we first started talking specifically that I was attracted to him because he had adorable dance moves, to which he referred to as white dad at a barbecue.
Or white dad at a barbecue.
And I thought his dance moves were so cute. And like, I remember like a specific moment where you and I like caught each other's eyes on the floor as well.
And then the night that I got booted, we filmed the episode 2 and 3 in the same day. So I went from a very high moment of winning the second episode to getting booted only an hour later. It was a very strange day indeed. And then I went home when we went back to the hotel, and because of insurance reasons, I was going to be leaving that next day. And a whole bunch of people were downstairs at the hotel bar. We're all chatting and getting to know each other better. And I noticed that Lindsay wasn't there. So I slid into her DMs and said, hey, I'm leaving tomorrow if you wanted to come down and say goodbye.
Yeah, so I get his message. And I have already removed all of my makeup. I have my hair in a bun. I am in pajamas. And I've taken a Xanax to help myself sleep. So I am like ready for bed. Because I didn't go down to the bar the first couple nights because I was studying. I really was like, no, I am here to win it. But I got his message and I was like, I really did think he was cute and he's leaving. So I should at least just go down for a few minutes and just like say goodbye. And I had kind of thought he was cute and that maybe I liked him a little bit. And him messaging me, I think, gave me the confidence to realize like, oh, maybe he is into me. Because if he hadn't done that, I probably would have never made, like, because I think I made the real first move, and I don't think I would have done it if he hadn't like given me some kind of confirmation that maybe he was interested. So I went down to the bar, gave me the biggest bear hug in the whole world. And I mean, Tom gives the best, warmest hugs ever. Like, I love hugging Tom. I didn't even stay there very long. I went back up to bed, and then I couldn't sleep because I was just thinking about him. I was like, I think I like this guy. Like, I think he's really cute. And so he went home the next day, and I was having lunch, and I was talking to Stephanie, who beat him in horror movies. But Stephanie was probably one of your closest friends.
Yeah, we hung out the first 2 days. Steph and I hung out in Dublin, and that's actually why when she knocked me out, I actually said to her, "I'm glad it was you and not some person I didn't really know or wasn't hanging out with." I was glad that it was Stephanie.
Yeah. So, and Stephanie and I kind of had a tendency to get close to whoever was in that square next to me, like being in the corner, like that block kind of shifted a few times, and I got close with every person that was in the block. So Stephanie and I got quite close, and I had said to her while we were eating, you know, I think I might've had a little crush on Tom. And I said it to her because I knew she was friends with Tom, and I was hoping to maybe hear something. And she was like, that's funny, because he that said that you were really cute and he kind of liked you. And then I was like, you know what? This would be really good on TV. Maybe we should do this again. So we go to-
Is that all I am to you? Airtime?
Hey, baby, we're on a podcast together.
I know.
I masterminded this.
Yes, you did. You masterminded it. Like a Taylor Swift song.
I've made him into a Swiftie. So is his sister. So it's not just me, but you can't really not be a Swiftie with me and your sister.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I was like, let's do this again. So Stephanie and I have the conversation again as we're filming. So far, they have not aired any of it. I'm a little disappointed, but I just don't think they have the time. The duel's actually take up pretty much the whole show. So, but we did film a number of conversations about Tom on the floor. And so we did the same thing again. I said, I think I had a little crush on Tom. And she goes, oh my God, like, he liked you too. And so then I decided to shoot my shot. And I messaged Tom and I said, so I may or may not have admitted to having a crush on you on national television. To which he responds.
that's ridiculous. And I just thought she was, I thought she was joking. And I'm like, you just continue with this fake crush and that's fine. And she told me that it wasn't fake. And I still don't really believe her. Still think that this is not real, but you know, I guess I'm getting used to it. She started.
He thought it was fake for like a full day. Like it was like, because after I told him I liked him, we talked for like the next, you know, the next day or so. It was like a full day before he was like, yeah, if you want to like lean into your fake crush. And I was like, no, it's a real crush. Like I really like you.
Yes.
So yeah, and he was great because like for the remainder of the time that I was there, which I cannot speak to how much longer I'm on the show, but for the remainder of the time that I was there, Tom was really supportive. He was just really amping me up. He's like, you're going to win. And like, he just made me feel really good. And we connected really quickly. And so, I mean, I think we knew by the time that I was like flying home that like we were going to meet up and that we were going to go out. But unfortunately, and this is I don't know if this is like something Fox wants shared, but we all got COVID. Like after filming, like
not me, I didn't
not get COVID. Tom, because Tom went home early. But I would say anyone who was there past like the second half of the season got COVID.
For about 2 weeks, the entire group chat was, "Yeah, I got it. Yes, I got it." It's just everybody on this group chat got it except for me and Kevin.
Yeah, I would say again, the folks who were out kind of early didn't get it, but the folks like who were there a little bit later, like I will say, the winner.
Yeah.
Got COVID. Which may or may not be me. No.
well, leave everybody COVID. In suspense with that.
The winner got COVID. So
baby. NDA.
I'm not saying who the winner is. I'm saying that's why it could may or may not be me. It's not. It is. Just kidding. No. Suspense. No, but anyways, like everybody got COVID. And so Tom and I wanted to hang out. We couldn't because I had COVID. And this was my first time having COVID. I thought I was invincible. I had gone three like half years without having COVID. I thought I was like one of the special. No, it got me. But then I had a summer vacation with my mom planned in Albania. We were gone for, I think two weeks or so. Yeah. Or like,
we were gone for a while.
Yeah. We were gone for a good while. And then while I was on this trip, then Tom went on a trip and you could talk about your trip.
So I am a tour guide. That is a true thing on that show. And part of my tour guide-ness is I do multi-day tours and I do cross-country tours as well as tours in Philadelphia. So I was on a 3 week long camping trip with a number of 18-year-old to 23-year-old. Technically they're adults, but they're children. who all find brand new ways to try and die every day. But we did a camping trip across the country, and it was a blast. And so I'm actually going to do that again this year, which is nice, along with some other really cool multi-day tours that I'm looking forward to. So once she got done with her trip, I was still on my trip. It was a pretty long time. And then, of course, you had to go to Arizona.
So, yeah. So unfortunately, which is really sad because I really wanted him to watch, but my father passed away in September. So Tom and I actually had our first date planned for the weekend that my father ended up passing away. So, and we talked every single day from the show, like every single day that we were both on our trips, we were sending each other a little like voice, you know, notes and video messages and texting. And it was just very clear that it was going to be a real thing. And then like we were supposed to have our first date and I had to fly home to Arizona because my father ended up in the hospital and my father didn't make it. Which has been really sad because I would have really liked for my dad to meet Tom. Like I was very close with my father and I think he would have really liked Tom. Tom, we have met each other's families and I love Tom's family. And my mom loved Tom. But Anyways, Tom was so supportive throughout that whole thing. Like, we hadn't even gone on a date yet, and I was calling him crying, like, you know, while my dad was going through everything. And it was just, yeah, it was just very different than any relationship that I'd had before. And you can probably tell that, like, we also have so much in common. Like, we're both like history, but we both like travel. We both, like, we just have a lot of similar interests. So finally, it was September 22nd, which we consider our anniversary, that I finally made it out to Philadelphia. I flew straight from Arizona, maybe like a week and a half after my father passed. And we went on our first date, and it was wonderful. It was like the best first date that I've ever been on. And I, Tom, if you want to elaborate.
Well, we, you ended up staying for 6 days. that was nice. That was nice.
We left it open-ended. It was like, just stay. And if we don't get along, you can go back to New York. Cause we live in different cities. I live in New York City. He lives in Philly. And it was yeah, go home if we don't get along, but no, I stayed for 6 days.
What was so remarkable was just how fast we got along and that we knew we got along. It was just, talking over text is one thing, but as soon as we saw each other and started hanging out, it was like, it had always been.
We've only been dating technically for like 4 months, but it feels
longer.
Like I've known you for a lifetime. So yeah. And then actually our second date is the most random second date ever because we planned it before I even went on the first date. Like, I'd actually asked him if he wanted to do this before the first date.
Oh, that's right.
Knowing our first date was going to go well. And I was on leave. I was on a leave because of my father passing away. I was given 3 weeks of bereavement for my company. And I had been thinking, like, I just want to go somewhere. Like, I was actually thinking of going by myself because I needed something. I needed to just get away and I needed to go be somewhere that was going to make me feel better. And then I was like, you know what? I should ask Tom if he wants to come. And so I texted him and I asked, do you want to go to Bermuda with me? The flights were cheap. And he was like, you know what? Let me check with my boss. And he did. And he was like, yeah, let's go. And so we hadn't even had our first date and we'd already planned our second date, which was 3 days in Bermuda.
Yeah.
I love that. I mean, it's just, you know, I think because of the way that, like, you described it, even just like seeing everything in the TikTok, it's one of those, like, when you know, you know. Yeah. And I think it really seemed for both of you like that was the case. I mean, to go through all of that and not see each other for that period of time and like have it work out so well is pretty amazing.
Yeah, I mean, well, I've said it in my TikTok. It's the best relationship I've ever been in.
Same. And I would, next, I mean, like, she was just here this past weekend, and when we went to see Natalia and her wrestling match, and now we're going to another trip out to India, Cambodia, and Thailand for the next month.
Well, that sounds very exciting.
It is very exciting. It's three bucket list entries on my list.
Yeah. And like the really interesting thing is that, you know, I find that I'm pretty good at picking out like people who could be good together. But granted, at this point, Lindsay, we haven't really seen a lot of you on the show. Just, you know, kind of in shots here and there and stuff like that. But when I saw, you know, not knowing the fact that you both love history so much, seeing your categories, political candidates, and then Tom, you know, you seem kind of like this nerdy D&D guy who likes sci-fi and horror movies. I wouldn't have initially said, yeah, I think those two are going to hit it off. But it sounds like you have a lot more in common than the show, at least up to this point, would demonstrate.
At a glance, it those two don't jive, but I think that, I don't know, love finds a way.
Well, and I think we both actually know a lot more about each other's categories as well. Like, Tom is very politically astute. We talk about politics all the time, and we are fortunately politically aligned, which is a big thing, I think, in relationships these days.
Yes.
And then I grew up musical as well. Like, I grew up playing multiple musical instruments. I played the drums in bands myself, and I was really, really into the music scene when I was younger. So I grew up on a lot of bands as well. And he definitely is, I would say, like, more into like bands than I am, but like it's I know a fair amount myself. And
your musical knowledge is impressive, very impressive, so don't sell yourself short.
Yeah. So I think when we just speak of the categories, we actually both know a lot about each other's categories. But again, we're both really big history lovers. We love traveling. And I think our personalities also are really complementary of each other. Like, we both see the world. We're both optimists. We're both pretty easygoing. You know, yesterday we went to the wrestling thing and I said to him, I was like, I love that you and I both are just willing to go do anything. Like, we wouldn't say no to anything. We wouldn't be like, no, that's not my thing. Like, we are really open-minded people who like to just enjoy things.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's a great attitude to have. I think me and my boyfriend are kind of the same way. And in some ways I think that that's what like drew me to the story in the first place is like, you know, it's just when you see two people who just get along so well, I think that's a really great thing. And I think it's rare in relationships today. So
before Tom, I really, really didn't think that there was like, there could be what I have with Tom.
Oh, baby. Makes me blush. Christine, yes. What drew you to the show?
So that is a great question. And I love when people ask me questions on my podcast. It rarely happens, but I love it when they do. Personally, I have always been just generally like, I am a lover of knowledge. If I could go to college for free, I would probably just always go to college. So I as much as I can learn, I want to learn. And so whenever I see a show about trivia, I'm naturally drawn to that because not only do I feel like I have like a good breadth of knowledge that I can probably get quite a bit right in a lot of these categories, but if I didn't already know something, then I'm learning something new. So it's kind of really twofold for me. And I think that's like, honestly, I think this is a really great format for a show. I think it makes trivia interesting instead of just standing like three people behind a podium and saying, whoever knows the answer first, buzz in. You know, it's a very unique way of doing this.
I really liked it with the show. It also had the same people the whole time, so you can get more invested in people. I was going to say, Christine, you should apply for the next season. If they green light it for another season, and there, you should go for it.
I mean, maybe. We'll have to see. That actually leads to a question that I have, though. I mean, in general, in both of your experiences, what's the biggest advice that you would give for people who would want to be on a show like this, like to prepare, to know what to expect and, you know, all of that?
For me, during the interview process, so because my process was slightly different from Lindsay's, they went after Lindsay and, you know, it was pretty clear from the start that they wanted her on the show. Whereas someone like me, where they're just like much more of a wild card, where they're like, what are we getting with this guy? It's, you have to present yourself as someone you'd want to see on TV. And so if you are presenting yourself as quiet or like shy, they're not going to pick that, because shy and quiet doesn't exactly work on a trivia show like this. And they were talking about that, about like how gregarious they want it and how they want people to be interacting. And these people are going to be together for 10 weeks at least. And during that process, like, I kind of had a show like, I can work on TV, and this is the kind of person that I would want to see on a TV show. Hopefully you agree with me. And they agreed. They were like, yeah, this is a person that we can work with. And so they were very quick to call back for that second interview. And that's kind of how I knew that I had it. I didn't hear anything for a while until I kind of threatened them. But I called them. I wrote them because they kind of kept me on a hook. And I said, you know, like, I like, hey, any word on this? Like, oh, we'll let you know. And I thought they might be keeping me on a hook. And then I went, all right, if I don't know by this date, I need to start planning my tours for August. And if I don't, I start losing money and I can't like do that. Am I on it? And I got almost immediately, they're like, you're on. Just like, we're not supposed to tell you yet, but you're on. I'm like, all right. And so that would be my advice is, you know, like, be a little persistent and so that they know that you're interested, and be the person that you would want to see on a TV show.
I was going to say, so past the casting and more like when you're actually on the show. I think authenticity is really important. I think we can see there's a couple people who maybe tried to play a character on the floor, and I don't think it sat well with people. I think people, especially in this day and age of so much faked, staged, you know, reality TV, I think people are really looking for like a breath of fresh air and people who are authentic. The show wanted us to like shit talk, and they wanted us to like be nasty with each other, like not nasty, but they wanted us to shit talk a little bit more. And I think the show was maybe disappointed that we all loved each other and we really didn't do much of that. But I actually think that's better TV, and that's what people want to see now. People want to see people that like each other, that have a camaraderie, because there's so much like wickedness in the world, and it's nice to see people who are friends with each other. So I think being authentically yourself is really important, not trying to play a character. It'll sit better. And then the other thing is pertaining to the floor itself, be open to your strategy changing constantly, because you might think your strategy is going to be to go for it, or you might think your strategy is going to be just to go back to the floor. But if you get randomized, you know, and you're next to the big piece and you think you can take the big piece, your strategy is going to change, versus if you're like in the corner and you can kind of hide, then like going back, you know, it's just going to change with every single move. And every time the floor shifts and somebody else gets that big piece, your strategy is going to change. Your strategy is also going to change whether it's the beginning of the episode or later in the episode. Because if you don't have time to win $20,000, you might want to sit back down. You know, if you have now inherited a category you don't know, you have to be more offensive. If you'd inherited a category you like, you can be more defensive. So just be really open that you can't have one strategy with the game.
Speaking to what Lindsay was talking about there, that's one of the reasons why Charles didn't shake my hand. Charles is a really nice guy, and that wasn't really him. And he was kind of playing a heel. He's involved with semi-pro wrestling as well. And so he was playing this character that he thought the producers might want. And unfortunately, it didn't end up working well for him. I actually kind of feel bad, because he's not like that. He's not, you know, he like, if given a second chance, he would have shaken my hand. In fact, you see him shaking my hand on the floor before I go up there. Just wanted to put that out there. Charles is a great guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. He wanted to play like a character, like I said. And I think he would have been really well liked if he'd just been who we know he is.
Yeah, no, and I couldn't agree with you more about like seeing the camaraderie. I mean, some people might disagree with that, but personally, I think that we need to see more of that, you know, restore a little bit of faith in humanity that people can actually get along. So honestly, that's a big reason why I liked it so much. There wasn't that nastiness that you see some of the time. So I think it's great, you know, hopefully we'll see that continue through the rest of the episodes. I'm really excited to see how it all plays out. But yeah, I mean, I'm so excited for both of you, you know, to find somebody on TV that's not a dating show.
We did not intend on that. Although my best, like one of my best friends did say, like, I had made a joke before we went, and I was like, what if I meet my soulmate out there? Like, the only place I'm going to meet someone else this nerdy is on a game show. And then like, what did I do? I met a fellow nerd.
That's awesome. And that's,
like, I didn't really believe it was going to happen, but I was like, what if?
You did mastermind this. Am I even in control of my own life? Darn it. Good job, honey.
I love you.
Exactly. Yeah. And it, like, that's perfect, because I mean, this podcast is all about essentially nerd culture, pop culture, all of that good stuff. So I'm always happy to, you know, find some fellow nerds to talk about this stuff with, and, you know, all of that.
Christine, I want to ask you a question that I love. Like, I think that's a really good question to ask nerds. What is a nerd fandom or a nerd topic that you don't have any knowledge of, but you really want to know more about, but just never had the time?
Oh man, that's a really good question, because honestly, like, there's not that much that comes to mind. Any nerd topic I could think of, I know quite a lot about, probably more than anything, even though I know a decent amount, is knowing more about Dungeons and Dragons.
Well, you just come to the right place.
I've played a couple of games, but I would love to have enough knowledge to confidently DM a game.
You know, you are a an angel among angels. Special people take the time, want to go and DM, because once that happens, you never go back. Your players don't let you. They're just like, oh, we found our DM, and you are. I speak from experience, by the way. All I want to do is play. All I want to do is play a character. I have all these characters that are dead and dying in the jail cell somewhere in my mind. And
do you want to train me to DM, baby, so you can play?
No.
I've never played.
Lindsay wanted to watch one of my games the other night, and it just. I mean, like, it's in the middle of a major campaign. She doesn't really know the game very well. And it's just, you know, she ended up taking a nap on my couch. I know that she's interested. It's just that that was not exactly the way to. That's not the way to be introduced to the game. The way to be introduced to the game is someone saying, here's your character, go. And then telling you the rules as you go along. Well, dropping you into the deep end, it's the best way to learn.
For me, well, the best way to get interested and to somewhat learn is I would always highly recommend watching the playthroughs either on Dimension 20 or Critical Role, because those are very entertaining, great, great storytellers. And I mean, that's really what got me into it, I think, more than anything, and what, you know, made me want to actually get more involved in it. So He'll get you into it, Lindsay. Don't worry about it.
Well, I had never seen Star Wars until Tom, and now we've watched a bunch of them. I promise you, I'm a huge nerd, but I was more of like a Lord of the Rings, Game of Thrones, like Final Fantasy, like Nintendo Zelda nerd. I didn't grow up on Star Wars. I didn't grow up on Dungeons and Dragons. And then, of course, my nerdiest hobby is like my president stuff, which like, if I were to walk you through my apartment, it's literally full of like presidential like memorabilia and like collectibles. Like I literally have back there is Gerald Ford's tie with a signed letter. So I've got my nerdiness. It's just not the same.
No, totally fair. Completely 100% fair. That's awesome. I think you two are just amazing. Truly like one of probably my favorite couples of any recent times that's come from a TV show. So, but you know, for anybody that's watching, if they, you know, want to, you know, kind of, you know, follow either of you or any social stuff. I know you mentioned your Instagram earlier. Is there anywhere else that people can, you know, follow what you've got going on?
Yeah, for me, I would say Instagram and TikTok. I don't really do TikTok as much, but I do sometimes. It's the same on literally everything on social media, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Linz Olson, LinzOlson. And then if you want to follow Tom, you should probably just follow me.
I keep on telling myself that I'm going to be more involved on social media, and then it just never happens. And I should, absolutely should, just to promote myself and the tours that I do, at least. But now, if anybody is interested to look at a page with one post and nothing else entertaining, tcourtney812, if you guys want to, if you're really interested.
Awesome. Well, you know, everybody keep watching the show. I think, you know, we'll see how everything plays out. I'm, you know, really excited about that. Everybody that's watching, you know, please make sure that you like, subscribe. Let me know, you know, if there's any other guests that you'd like me to have on the show, and I'll try and make that happen. And yeah, just keep
there
watching.
There are some guests that you could absolutely, we're definitely going to share this and see if they would like to, who else would like to be interviewed. I know that there'd be a ton of people that would like that. Yeah.
Yeah, we can definitely get you more folks from the floor. Like, if you want, we could probably get you in touch with like some of the different episode winners.
Sunny would be great. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sunny would do it. Like, I mean, a lot of folks from honestly, we're all people that wanted to be on TV.
Steph would be on there.
Person would talk to you.
Yeah. So
more about like controlling how many people want to talk to you. Like,
oh yeah, yeah, time. For sure. And I mean, it's neat because I'm sure everybody has their own experience and things like that. I mean, for you two, like, this clearly was the big, like, highlight of the experience was meeting each other. But I'm sure for other people, it's going to look a little bit different.
He's my grand prize.
and you're my grand prize too, darling.
And your $20,000.
You know, that really does pale in comparison. It's not even like a comparison. You are far beyond that 20K.
And that's the sweetest thing that I've heard all day.
That's true.
Kind of like annoyingly cute sometimes.
I don't think there's a level for me. There's not a level for me. And so maybe for some other people, but yeah. So definitely everybody, you know, keep watching. We'll check you out next time. And thank you for watching the podcast.
All right, thank you for having us on.
Yeah, thank you for having us.